in Jesus' name, let this service be yours. We dedicate it to you. We dedicate it to remember what you said up and to look forward to the future of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, in the beginning, that would be when the children of Israel were in the wilderness. The way God gave them to remember things was holidays or feast days. So every year they would remember certain events connected to this feast. And the first holiday God gave them was every Saturday. Every Saturday is Sabbath, is a feast day. And the way God wanted them to celebrate a feast day was no work. Now that sounds like fun to us, but it really meant no activity. It wasn't that you didn't do your work, but you could go outside and do your hobbies. Just spend that time thinking about the Lord, enjoying what he had done, and praising him, and praying, and just have a time to relax and be calm. The women cooked all the meals on Friday so that they were not in the kitchen cooking. They didn't wash clothes. They didn't do the garden. They didn't take care of their animals. No work. Now, there were a few exceptions. If their animal fell in the ditch, they were allowed to get it out. And I'm sure, you know, if there's some emergency, something. But they were depending on God for there not to be an emergency so that they could keep every Saturday as holy or separate, a day separate to the Lord. And our country, United States, was founded on a lot of the Jewish principles because Jesus was a Jew. And so if we're going to worship Jesus, we need to respect what was set up by God for the Jews and later for the church. So when they set up the United States, they didn't work on Sunday. Now, why do you think it was changed from Saturday to Sunday? Go ahead, anybody. Because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And so we don't celebrate what the Jews were celebrating, a time of consecration. We celebrate the resurrection. And so it was we, meaning Christians. And so it was moved from Saturday, a day to reflect and a holy day, to Sunday. And this went on, you know, hundreds of years. When I was a kid, they had something called, and you remember this, Mary, they had something called the Blue Law. And what that meant was you had to keep your business closed on Sunday. Well, some people didn't want their business closed on Sunday. They said, everybody's off work, and they could come to my store or my business. They could come buy a car. They could come do this on their day off. So in Texas, anyway, they had the Blue Law, which said you have to be closed either Saturday or Sunday to try to satisfy some of the greed that the businesses had. Amen? Now, that's been repealed and shop any day of the week. However, that's the first holiday, our first feast, our first memorial God set up. Just one day a week, think about the Lord. Think about God. Pray and worship God. Now the next holiday, and let's refer to this one sheet, and it's about in the middle, it's called Passover, comma, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The next holiday in the calendar is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And they had a week to clean house, clean everything, their barns, their houses, their yards, their vehicles, their wagons, whatever. And what they were looking for was leaven. Now, leaven is something used in cooking. We call it more like yeast. And it was okay to cook with leaven. It wasn't that that was the bad thing. But God said leaven is a form of sin because when leaven is put in with flour and shortening and water, it spreads. And that's how we have bread. And that's how we have other pastries and things like that. And he said, that's how sin is. You put sin, a little bit of sin somewhere, and it will spread. And so God used that analogy. It wasn't that they were wrong to cook with leaven or have leaven, but he said, I want you to set apart a week to get rid of all leaven. And what kind of bread did they eat? Unleavened bread, meaning it didn't rise. It didn't have any yeast or leaven in it. It was just more like a cracker type.
Flour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the purpose was, not only were they cleaning their house of leaven and sin, they were cleaning their hearts. They were examining their own heart. Do I have any sin in my heart? I want to forgive it and let it come. Amen? So that was a week. And the next day was Passover. And you know what the Feast of Passover was representing? It was representing when that death angel came to every house in Egypt. But the ones that had gotten the lamb and followed the instructions of God, put that blood on the doorpost and over the door, that death angel passed over that house. So no one died in that house. Praise the Lord. And all of these things are such a picture of Jesus. He's the perfect lamb. He's the Passover lamb. He's the one that died so we could live. His blood is the one that causes death to pass over us. And many, many other things we can go into. So we've got Feast of Unleavened Bread. We've got Passover. Passover was just one day. The next feast in this trilogy is not even written here, called the Feast of First Fruits. And that's when they would, their harvest would start to come in, and they would take the first bunch of grain or the first part of the harvest and present it. This is such a faith. This is faith, because when you present the first to the Lord, you're not sure if you're going to have a second. But instead of hoarding the first for yourself, you give it to the Lord. It's a faith statement. I believe there's going to be plenty for me and my household and whatever I need, so I'm giving my first fruit to God. Now, this was not a tithe. This was not an offering. It was an offering. It's not a tithe. It was first fruit offering. And so, we've got 7 days we're cleaning house. One day is Passover, which they spent that day praying and seeking God and doing nothing. And then the next day, they all took their first fruits to the temple or to the synagogue or wherever they gave their first fruit. And what happened to that first fruit? Well, eventually the priest ate it. See, the priest had no land. The priest had no farm. The priest had no animals of their own and no crops of their own. They had to depend on the offerings of the people for them to eat. And it was orchestrated by God. Now, if you can do a study of offerings, it's pretty involved. Some offerings, the priest ate a certain part of the animal or ate the grain. Some offerings, it was all burnt up. Yeah. Nobody ate anything. Come in. And some offerings, the person who gave the offering got a portion of it back to take home and have a party. So different offerings were handled different ways. And different offerings were given at different times and then different purposes. This is not a study of offerings, but that would be a good one. Hi, Nancy. So we're talking about the feasts. And so the first part of the year, those three. Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of Passover, Feast of First Fruits. And there were all three right there in a very short period of time. And it was exciting and everybody was happy about it. They used the word feast because it was a joyful time. Even though they weren't supposed to do any work or any manual labor, still it was a joyful time to enjoy what God had done for them. Now, count 50 days. 1, 2, 3, 4. You can count to 50, can't you? Yes, I thought so. 50 days, and we've come to the Feast of Pentecost. Another word, Feast of Weeks. You see that one here?
It's the second from the bottom.
Right. And those dates are 2018. Anyway, Festival of Weeks or Pentecost, and they had this feast to celebrate when Moses went on the mountain and got the law. God gave the law. So they celebrated Pentecost, 50 days from Passover, Pentecost to celebrate God gave us the law. Why is that good? Because people know how to please God. You want to please God? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. do not murder, do not covet, and I don't know the order, and keep the Sabbath holy. And so they knew, if I do these things, I'm pleasing God. And of course, other things were added because you start wanting details. Well, how do I keep this, or how do I, if I love my neighbor, well, who is my neighbor? Is it the person living next door, or is it the person in the same biological family, or, you know, they wanted details. And so more and more laws were established. So we got three feasts, unleavened bread, Passover, first fruits, count 50 days, then you have Pentecost. And around, in our personal calendar, Pentecost is around near sometimes our Easter, that time of year. Okay, now zoom to this, to fall. It's fall, you guys. Now we've got three more feasts. And now go to the top of your page. The first feast is Rosh Hashanah, which starts tonight at midnight, sundown. Is it midnight? Sundown. Rosh Hashanah was established for, it's in the new year. And it was a party. It was a happy time. It's exciting. New year, new beginning, new start. It was a good thing. The other name for it is a Feast of Trumpets, because part of the celebration was to blow trumpets. If you had a trumpet at your house, you could, like a shofar or some other kind of trumpet, blow it all during the day. You know, do what you want. But the very last, as the last sun went down on the last day of trumpets, which used to be trumpets was only one day, but I saw in my reading that it's expanded to 2 days. The last sun ray goes down with a silver trumpet. The priest blows a long blast, as long as he has air, as long as possible, he blows the trumpet. Amen. He can use a shofar, but for the last one, it's a silver trumpet. Now, I don't know if that's tradition or that's in the Word. So I think that has become tradition. But some tradition, God gave it orally to Moses. I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm saying that's what's happening. And right now, currently, the Jews receive this holiday or this feast as a sweet time to think about. This is, go to our next feast day, please. Sorry that it's so long, but it says, on the first day of the Jewish month of Tishri in the fall, the Feast of Trumpets blasts its way into the new Jewish year. Today it's known as Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, even though it's not really the start of the biblical year at all, according to Exodus 12:2. So they have a civil calendar and they have a religious calendar, a civil government calendar. So the government calendar, this today's or tonight, starts the new year. The religious calendar, it starts over there near Passover. Interesting. Why? Don't know. The calendar year was supposed to start in the month of Passover in the spring, and Feast of Trumpets comes in the beginning of the seventh month. Like all other feasts of the Lord, it's full of significance and meaning for us today, as well as prophetic meaning about what's to come. Rosh Hashanah is the first of three fall holidays. Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. The 10 days between Feast of Trumpets and Yom Kippur, the holiest day, are called the Days of Awe. So we have Feast of Trumpets, which was one day, then they had 10 days. And during that 10 days, they were to cleanse their souls, so to speak. They were to think, they were to repent and ask God to cleanse their hearts. Well, anyway, the purpose of those 10 days, Days of Awe, was for people to search their souls, if there's any sin in their hearts. So Feast of Trumpets, starting tonight, is a holiday. It's a party. They have parties, invite friends over. They eat sweet foods and just enjoy the day. It's Happy New Year. Well, I heard Joseph Prince talk about the head of the year. And one of the things, again, tradition, is that whoever was king of Israel, when he became king, his birthday changed to Rosh Hashanah, the head. Oh. So, oh, that's cool. That's exciting. So tonight, when the sun goes down, that holiday or that feast begins. Let's go back to our one page. So we're talking about the Feast of Trumpets. Amen. And it's so interesting, some of the things I was reading, they mentioned our president, President Trump, and in parentheses at the end of his name, they put it, trumpet. So the irony of this whole situation is not lost on the world. But it's very exciting. Feast of Trumpets is a holiday, and I have often thought, God set up the Feast of Unleavened Bread to get rid of sin. And that holiday was satisfied or fulfilled when Jesus took our sin. The second one is Feast of Passover. And that holiday, even though they were celebrating a literal event that happened in their history, historical event, the Feast of Passover is when Jesus died on the cross. He was the Lamb. He literally shed his blood for the sins of the world. And then the third Feast of First Fruits was, of course, it was the harvest, but what was the way it was satisfied or fulfilled is Jesus rose from the dead. New life.
Yay.
Resurrection.
Yay.
Amen.
He is the first fruit of new humans.
Yes, he was.
Hallelujah.
The first born from the dead.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I was just listening to Brother Copeland from Southwest, and he really majors on those really good teaching. Anyway, moving on. So those three have been satisfied. Go to Pentecost. Now we know that the Jews were to celebrate Pentecost or Feast of Weeks because that's when the Torah or the law was given. But that was satisfied, or that was fulfilled. You know when that was fulfilled? Feast of Pentecost? Acts chapter 2?
Mm-hmm. The Spirit.
They were all in one accord. In the upper room. And the Holy Spirit came to indwell Christians. Indwell believers. And so some of these have an historical event, but they all have a spiritual fulfillment. Well, moving down to trumpets and atonement and tabernacles, those have very specific things, but they have not, shall I say, been fulfilled. Nothing has happened on Feast of Trumpets or Day of Atonement or Feast of Tabernacles as far as the Christian world is concerned. And so I have been looking all these years for the Lord to come during the Feast of Trumpets, thinking of that scripture that says, the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and remain will go up with them in the air.
Yeah.
Amen. And I feel like that's a scripture about the rapture, and it mentions a trumpet. And so I've always thought the fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets is the rapture, the time that the church goes to heaven. Hallelujah. Come, Lord Jesus. Now let's look at this big page at the very bottom of the first page. It says, here's what the Bible instructs about the Feast of Trumpets. And that's what I'm most interested in, is what the Bible says rather than the traditions of current day. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you should observe a day of solemn rest. And remember we said, they don't work. And not only do they not work, they don't go do their hobby. They don't toil. Amen? A memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. I'm turning the page. And you shall present a food offering to the Lord. On the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets, and you shall offer a burnt offering for a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So it was intended by God to be a day of rest, a day to blow trumpets, and to offer sacrifices over and above the usual sacrifices for the new month, for making atonement for the people. Hallelujah. And then these are some things. Why? What does it mean to blow a trumpet? Well, time to pack up camp and move on. Remember in the children of Israel were in the wilderness? When the cloud lifted off of the tabernacle, they knew it was time to move. And a priest would blow a trumpet also. So they had the visual sign and the sign that they could hear.
Yes.
It's time to move. And when you hear that trumpet of the Lord, it'll definitely be time for you to move. Time for us to move.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we're going with the glory. another time they would blow trumpets was to gather the people and call an assembly. Another time was to mark a sacrifice on a feast day. Another time, a warning of war or danger. Another time, to praise. Another time, to declare a procession or feast. Another time, to proclaim a new king. Another time, to assemble the troops for battle. Another time, to be used in battle. And another time, to declare victory. And if you look at the Old Testament in Leviticus and Numbers, it tells you how many blasts would come from the trumpet to signify various things.
See, they proclaim the king.
Uh-huh.
They had the people that beat the trumpet. He's the king to come.
Now look down at the sexual section. The sound of the trumpet also has other connotations in the Bible. God's power to raise the dead. Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise. The proclamation of the gospel. The bold and faithful preaching of prophets and the latter day judgment. So, praise the Lord. Now, here it is in Hebrew. I'm going to say it in English. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Praise God. Everyone's going to be saved. Say it, please. Oh, good. Shana-toba. And it says here it's customary to eat sweet and honey, chocolate, give gifts of sweets for the new year. Now, this is kind of interesting to me, the last paragraph. Modern Judaism has a concept of your good and bad deeds being weighed on the scales to see if you're good enough to be written in the book of life at this time leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. I always tell people that I'm sure my name will be in there because I'm good friends with the author of the book. The meaning of complete forgiveness and atonement for sin due the sacrifice of sinless other has been lost somewhere down the line. So the Jews are no longer quite as interested in having their sins forgiven as much as earning their way into heaven. Okay, I'm moving on to the next page, which isn't very long.
Yeah. They used to every year have the sacrifice where the high priest go in and put the blood over the tabernacle. But all that's gone now. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a reminder about sin.
Even the Orthodox Jews don't do that.
Where do they do it?
Well, I know they can't do it at the temple anymore.
And they have no mercy seat, and they have no ark. They have no... Surely someone, Orthodox, or the Hasidic Jews, or somebody is doing this somewhere.
Right.
I'm not clear. I'm not informed.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
But see, it's good proving. Pretty obvious content.
That might be my voice.
Brother invented.
Content. Jesus is the way.
Yes,
that's it.
I will not accept that no longer.
Yeah.
That's all that's gone.
That's right.
He took that away.
Amen.
He did not let anything
take the place of
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Anyway.
And like you said, because those reminders are not good, the people have moved away from believing God will forgive sin to I have to live a good life. So, God help us all. And I said Jews. I did not mean to group them all in one pot. I just got this stuff off the internet. So, some Jews are trying to earn their way to heaven just like some Christians are.
Yeah. And without even realizing it, too. Many times they'll be conscious trying to earn their way to heaven.
Exactly.
Judge yourself.
Praise God. So,
you know, when you're in the flesh, that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, It's true.
This is why the whole Christian life is a love walk. It's in the Spirit of God. It's in Christ.
You have to be very careful, Doug, because Satan comes as an angel of light and can confuse all the people. That's the reason we have to be very, that's true, very watchful.
When we're used to living based on what we perceive through our natural senses, which is the way most people live, and it screws you up.
Yeah. That's right.
Yes. Well, it's so limited. We don't realize it. We, with the humans, don't realize how limited we are if we only depend on our five senses, or we only depend on our experience, or we only depend on what someone else told us of their experience. So limited. And God is wanting to, you know, open us up to think like He thinks.
Because none of those produce faith. And it's impossible to please Him without faith. It's impossible to do the work of Christ without faith.
And the only place to get faith.
Place to come back.
You know, I was hearing Kelly Copeland and her mom talking about the fruit of the Spirit. How this will just be your nature. This will just happen. You won't have to try to be sweet or try to be forgiving or try to be loving. That's what I'm talking about, trying to earn your salvation. You won't have to try. You'll know you're saved. You have the confidence. You have a boldness. You're not, the life isn't being sucked out of you. You're actually energized and renewed and restored by having your mind renewed and knowing that He's the one that we're raised with.
I like how she made the point that she says, you know, I almost don't like the term fruit of the Spirit because it's been reduced to a phrase that goes on a coffee cup or a, you know, something that hangs on a wall in your house, you know, just some sweet little saying that goes on.
Kelly said that.
Kelly said that. And how it is a force that when it's working and it's producing, God in you is just unstoppable.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right. The fruit of the Spirit is a very DNA of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
the nature.
And it's the manifestation of your relationship, your intimacy with God.
Yeah.
Because you'll know about the food. If you need to get back to the Lord.
That's right. Yeah. That's what that nature, a life of God, it's where nature, you can't manifest those.
Uh-huh.
And we got proof of that. Look what the flesh manifests.
Okay, yeah.
With the Lord, again, we have the nature. And those fruits begin to produce in our life.
Hallelujah.
They don't grow. Mature and produce. I mean, in my life, I've seen that. I used to be, I wasn't all patient. You know, I had anger. And I took up the wall doors of it. And all that, as I matured, as God's Word washed me, and I grew. Those things are not there.
Yeah. There's no place for them anymore.
The Word became the seed that washed me clean.
Hallelujah.
Well, I think it's so wonderful. I think we were talking about this at least a couple of weeks ago, how He changes things like little by little. He doesn't make you just take the whole elephant or whatever, you know, how big it is all at one time. He gives you like bite-sized little pieces. That's changes. So Peter, stop saying this. Stop doing this, you know, stop.
That's pretty.
Gives you a scripture, you know, so you stop thinking this way. Renew your mind. So, and then you look back and, you just changed everything.
Yeah. And I didn't have to try.
And it was easy.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's easier when somebody else is doing it.
He took your hands. He took everything and did it through you. Thank you.
Yeah. That's a good point. No, that's it. This is a good point about that. I have an offense against somebody, and God just puts a little hole in that down. Uh-huh. It begins to come through a little bit. The love comes through. It begins to come through. As soon as, like the story about the little boy took his finger in the light and didn't break when he pulled out. You know, pursue destroying a whole life. It's like the, that's the way it ends, destroying a life, because it puts no hold in the river of life, it's thrown out. This is just picks the whole thing down.
That's right.
Or sees on the water of the world.
Yeah.
If we just let God put the law in,
that's right. Yeah. That's true.
Don't eat the oil.
It'll only sting that one time. Just let it start going through.
Those little pieces, like you're saying, that's the glory to glory.
Yes.
The glory to glory.
And that's it.
It's just true. A little more glory, a little more glory. Next thing you know, you're totally glory.
Yeah, come on.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Well, you know, I have told you now, when the Lord's coming during Feast of Trumpets, what year? I don't know. But I always wanted to be this year. And so I was reading a little bit more. If you look on your last page, it says Shabbat Shuva. Shabbat Shuva is translated Sabbath of Return, or Saturday of Return. Refers to the Shabbat that occurs during the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Only one Shabbat can occur between these dates. The Shabbat is named after the first word of the Hebrew, Afra, and literally means return. It's perhaps a play on words, but not to be confused with the word Tishka, the word for repentance. So, return, you know, I'm thinking Jesus returning. And I thought, okay, so we've got Feast of Trumpets, which is the night of the 20th, the day of the 21st, and the night of the 21st, the day of the 22nd. And then we've got this Shabbat Shuva, which is the night of the 22nd, the day of the 23rd, that Saturday. And that's when last week we talked about this constellation and the moon and this woman, the great sign, the woman clothed with the sun, the moon at her feet, gave birth to a man-child. We talked about that last week, and that's supposedly all happening on Saturday. And now they're saying also Saturday is this holy day of return. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, come Lord Jesus, blow those trumpets. Do I have proof? No.
Every event that God did in the major is a holy day.
Well, let's finish up those last two feasts.
The word that saying, he's always on time.
Yes.
He's going to be on peace.
Yes.
He's going to be on the peace. And he's all, he gave the peace on the holy day. He's going to do it on peace.
Amen. Well, we have the holy day, the last three, holy day, Feast of Trumpets. 10 days later is Day of Atonement. And during those 10 days, the people are to repent from their sins. Basically. And so Day of Atonement is a pretty special day. It's that one day of the year that the high priest is allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And it's very involved. He has to take some blood. First, he has to make a sacrifice of family's sins. And when that's complete, he comes out, he gets more blood, goes back in, and sacrifices this blood on the mercy seat for the nation. Cover for the nation. And of course, if that's not received by God, he dies. But the people have no covering for sin for a whole year. There's not a do-over or a plan B. They're on their own.
Let me ask a question. Is there anywhere recorded in the Bible where the priests perished?
No, in that experience, no. But it only tells the format. It doesn't tell of individual experiences.
Okay.
Well, and then the last feast lasts for 8 days. As soon as Yom Kippur is over, the very next day starts Feast of Tabernacles. And the remembrance is, remember when our forefathers were wandering in the wilderness and we had no permanent dwelling and we made little lean-tos or little shacks or collapsible, something we could... first mobile home or something we can travel with. And so the way they do that nowadays, if they want to, they build a little shack out in the backyard, a little lean-to, I don't know, whatever, and they kind of live in the backyard and in the house back and forth because it's not hard and fast. But they're remembering how God sustained them through the wilderness. They didn't bring enough food to last 40 years. They didn't bring enough water for a desert. They brought a lot of gold and silver, which kind of went to a golden camp, but they didn't have the necessities. And you know, God didn't let their shoes wear out, didn't let their clothes wear out. I mean, God did wonderful things for them, brought water from the rock, manna every morning, awesome things. And so, Feast of Tabernacles, they have 14 days to enjoy and think about. Is it 14? It might be 10, but anyway, to enjoy that. And then there, that's all of the seven prophetic feasts. Now there are other feasts. If you look it up on the internet, you'll find all kinds of things. They're all very good. But these are the seven established by Moses, God and Moses, in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. So it's pretty exciting. And like John said, day, on a feast day. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know.
Well, that's... pray, and I think we can all agree to say, like it says in Revelation, come with Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for teaching and telling us these things, and oh, how our hearts yearn to be with you in heaven. And yet, we also have your heart that says you want to take as many as possible.
Yes.
We do too. We agree with you. As many as possible. Come in to Jesus Christ. All you have to do is say, Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
You receive him as your Savior and Lord.
Yes.
Oh, Father, we agree with you. Let it be done. Let it be done.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Well, happy New Year, everybody.